Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Got them, you should only if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ, I wasn't old enough to hold my DMP right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training in difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging. Splitting duchess up, strap up, the army's a school. Teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris, worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish scales and cops, love the time come. I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Hope the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Off the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake, go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new, here
revolution,
we
revolution, every warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolution, every warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is all fair, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. You hear him?
my errands.
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land, revolutionary ingredients. I'm your host, Guman Shakir. Welcome to another this George Edgemans Radio. This is a special episode where we're going to send out the call of emergency for our comrade, freedom fighter, and political prisoner, Muhammad Abu-Jamal. Before I bring in our guests, I'd like to go with our goals and give a little historical background in regard to who Muhammad Abu-Jamal is. Our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate false illiteracy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate culture ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. And our fifth goal is to prepare new African prisoners for release, producing new African citizens. Now I'm going to go over a little brief history in regard to who Muhammad Abu-Jamal is, so people can get a clarity in regards to who he is and get an overall understanding. Okay, Muhammad Abu-Jamal is an international celebrated black writer and radio journalist, author of over 13 books and hundreds of columns and articles, organizer and inspiration for the black prisoners, for the prisoner large movement, former member of the Black Panther Party, and supporter of Philadelphia Radical Move organization, who has spent the last 30 years in prison, almost all of them inside the confinement of Philadelphia death row. His demand for a new trial and freedom is supported by heads of state and prominent politicians worldwide, France, Africa, the Caribbean, Latin America, elsewhere. Nobel laureates Nelson Mandela, Toni Morrison, Desmond Tutu, the European and Japanese Parliament, city government from San Francisco to Detroit to Paris and its suburbs, distinguished human rights organizations such as Amnesty International, the Congressional Black Caucus, and other members of the U.S. Congress, prominent civil rights groups such as the NAACP, numerous labor unions such as, and by scholars, religious leaders, artists, scientists, and countless others who cherish democracy, human rights, and justice. Muhammad tried and convinced. Muhammad Abu-Jamal was tried, convicted, and sentenced to death in 1982 for the murder of Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner, an incident which took place on December 9, 1981. Sent to trial, for the next 30 years, Muhammad was held in isolation on death row. He was kept there for over 10 years, even though a federal judge ordered his death sentence overturned in 2001. However, after losing numerous appeals of that order, the Philadelphia District Attorney on December 7, 2011, announced he was giving up his attempt to restore Muhammad's death sentence. Muhammad remains in prison under a sentence of life without parole. Amnesty International on the trial and the post-trial environment. Muhammad Abu-Jamal was sentenced to death for the murder of a police officer in 1982 after a trial that failed to meet international standards. In this report, Amnesty International conducts a full analysis of the trial of Muhammad Abu-Jamal, including background atmosphere prevailing in the city of Philadelphia in 1982, and the possible political influence that may have prevented him from receiving an impartial and fair hearing, Amnesty International. What has been the state's claim? Philadelphia prosecutor argued and still claimed that Muhammad, traveling to Texas in downtown Philadelphia, came across his brother, who had been stopped by Officer Faulkner. Prosecutor further claimed that, motivated by a long-standing hatred of the police from the days of the Black Panther and support of MOVE, Muhammad ran to Faulkner and shot him in the back. Finally, they alleged that, although wounded by a returning shot from Faulkner, Muhammad stood over the fallen police officer and shot him several times in the face. What do Muhammad's supporters believe happened at the crime scene? There is no dispute that Muhammad was wounded as he approached the scene. After Muhammad was shot, however, the details are unclear. It is known that after police apprehended Muhammad, and while in transit to the hospital, he would be severely by the police. It also clear from photographic and ballistic evidence, which had only recently came to light, that the state's version of what happened cannot possibly be true. Moreover, many of those who believe Muhammad innocent claim that the most likely shooter was a fourth person at the scene, Kenyon Freeman, who was riding in Muhammad's brother's car. At the trial, the presence of Freeman was known to the prosecution, but carefully concealed from the jury. Patrick O'Connor, in his book, The Framing of Muhammad, offered a more reasoned account for this version of events. On the morning after the MOVE bombing, Kenyon Freeman's dead body was found naked and handcuffed. Many of Muhammad's supporters believe that he was killed, execution style, by police who knew he Bradley and Mumia were the guilty party. Other defendants of Mumia have no unified theory of events, but nevertheless unite in viewing his 1982 trial as a mockery of justice and affirming Amnesty International conclusion that justice would best be served by a new trial. What do those who oppose a new trial claim? Mumia's detractors routinely refer to him as a cop killer. They are led by the Fraternal Order of Police and supported by many in the corporate media and political establishment. They often claim that the evidence showed the Mumia conviction is an open and shut case, which latter appears to have confirmed. Supporters of Mumia from Amnesty International to the European Parliament and including countless others are simply uninformed about the case. Mumia is a former Black Panther and revolutionary journalist with Jay Way for a chance to kill a cop. Mumia's writings and notoriety are a mode of torture for the slain officer's widow, Marion Faulkner, who is being denied closure. All the argument made by Mumia attorneys and supporters are based on myth. However, the critics' visceral campaign to kill Mumia often not extended to others who have been convicted of killing police officers. What seemed to set Mumia apart from the similar case had been his writing and oral commentary as well as his ongoing activism. It often seems as though these forces are far more afraid of Mumia political analysis against any hearing than again to the truth of what really happened to Officer Faulkner. What have Mumia lawyer argued? By 1999, Mumia's attorney had filed appeals at all levels of state and federal courts, arguing 29 claims showing numerous violations of Mumia's constitutional right to a fair trial. Many of these claims were discussed and confirmed by the Amnesty International 2000 study of Mumia's case, A Life in the Balance, the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. The most prominent of these claims focused on the original trial judge's racial bias, the failure of police to do minimal forensic tests, racial bias, and jury selection, providing Mumia with only ineffective honor resource defense counsel, rush trial proceedings, denying Mumia the right to self-defense, giving inadequate instruction to the jury about mitigating circumstances, and prosecutor venomously closed the argument to the jury. Since 1999, Mumia attorneys have been allowed by the federal court to focus largely on all four areas. In relation to sentencing, whether the jury verdict form, along with the jury's instruction to the jury, misled the jury and violated the Supreme Court case law. In relation to conviction and sentencing, whether racial bias in jury selection existed to such an extent that it tended to produce an inherently biased jury and therefore unfair trial. In relation to conviction, whether the prosecutor improperly attempted to reduce jurors' sense of responsibility by telling them that a guilty verdict will be sequentially vetted and subjected and subject to repeated appeals, but that a not guilty verdict could not be reviewed. And in relation to the post-conviction review hearings in 1995 through 1996, where the presiding judge Sabo, who had also presided at the trial, demonstrated unacceptable bias in conduct. Also, in the years following 1999, Mumia attorney had tried to get judicial review of an affidavit by a court stenographer that Judge Sabo said in a court anteroom about his role in the case. Yeah, and I'm going to help them fry the nigga. Witnesses who have recanted their testimony given the trial, who now say they were pressured by police to deny the presence of a fourth civilian person at the scene and to name Mumia as a shooter. A confession by another man who claimed to have been an actual shooter, and the failure of both defense attorney and prosecutor to present for review to any jury or judge the first photo taken at the crime scene, the polo car photos. Only police photo taken slightly later and with significant difference from the polo car photo used at the trial. What a legal case stand now. This section needs to be updated. What ground do supporters cite then claim when we are innocent? What have we appeared? Okay. Well, that's a little information. I'm also on your list some of his accomplishments. Mumia with the president of Philly Charter Association of Black Journalists. He worked briefly at the Black Panther newspaper in Oakland in 1970. He changed name legally in 1970. He defied the mayor of Philly Black Panther Party in 1968. He authored Life and Death Row in 1995. Death Blossom 1996, All Things Since 1998, Hard Knock Radio 2001, We Want Freedom 2004, Face Our Father 2003, J.R. Lawyer 2009, The classroom in the cell, 2012. Running the Wall, 2014. Have Black Lives Ever Matter, 2017. Murder Incorporated, Part 1, 2018. Murder Incorporated, Part 2, 2019. Murder Incorporated, Part 3, 2020. And there are also various documentaries in regards to Movement Abu-Jamal, like In Prison My Whole Life documentary came out 2007, Longest Revolutionary came out 2012, and various other publications, right? I would like to say salute all those identified with land, salute all those identified revolutionary means. And without all ado, I'd like to welcome to the show, Mama Pam Africa. How you doing, Mama?
On the move. You know, full of rage, and I'm turning all that into on this system where it should be. You know, it's clear. And, you know, at first I want to thank you, and, you know, for always, you know, being there and, you know, when the need come to be able to put out the information to, you know, for all political prisoners and, you know, and humanity things, you know, involving our people, period. You know, but we're at a dangerous stage right here in the life of Mumia. I don't know how many people in your listening audience have seen the pictures that were sent out of Mumia's legs and his face. And they are so horrifying. People who seen them would just grab their mouth and then some people would go WTF. And I'm just abbreviating it. And you know how people feel about what it is that they seen. Let me go on by saying, because I'm going to deal with the medical and then I'm going to go into some of the legal dealing with Mumia, because this is the most urgent. We got to demand that Mumia be released. We got to demand that while he's in the custody of these people, and that when he's transferred to a hospital, he do not be shackled hands and feet. And you know, to back that up, on March 3rd, Mumia got in contact with us, and he called him and his wife and said that, you know, he said, Pam, I really believe I have COVID. And he said, I'm having problems breathing. It feels like an elephant is sitting on my chest. And you know, so we immediately sprung into action and, you know, put the word out about what was going on. Mumia tells us later that, you know, and we told him to put in a sick slip. He said, you know, he put the sick slip in and immediately, and this comes from the power of the people, because you put a sick slip in, you can be daggone near dead, and they might not get to you for a week or so later. He put the slip in, and immediately they came and they got him and they took him to the infirmary. And in the infirmary, they said that Mumia tests negative and all for the corona, for the corona 19, and you know that he never had, you know, corona, and but then they rushed him to the hospital. They rushed him to the hospital because, number one, I believe, and Mumia had blew up twice his weight size. And he was having these problems breathing and stuff. The last thing they want to happen with, you know, the pressure that was coming on because a worldwide movement was happening, what's happening with Mumia, release Mumia. So they rush him over to the hospital. At the hospital, now he had two tests or three tests at the prison that turned out negative, saying he never had corona, and then he never had and that he didn't have it then. When he get to the hospital, he tests positive for corona, and he also, we found out that Mumia had congestive heart failure. And, you know, not only that, you know, we already knew that Mumia had cirrhosis of the liver. And this skin condition that he had, which was brought back on again by them, by failure to treat it properly during this corona time when people was locked in the cells, Mumia had to have constant care of his skin because they neglected, during the time that he had hepatitis C, and to term it hepatitis C, and to, you know, give them the necessary medicines and all, you know, to stop it. Again, it was the power of this movement, the power of the people and all who backed these people off. And all, we wound up in court, and he wound up getting that treatment. But when he got the treatment, just before they gave it to him, the guards came and told him, they said, we got good news and we got bad news, right? And the good news is that you're going to get the treatment for the hepatitis C. The bad news is that you now have cirrhosis of the liver. When this thing first started, you know, back then, 2 years back, the very tip of his liver was calcified. When they tell him this, cirrhosis of the liver is a very, very, you know, harmful, deadly disease. It needs to be taken care of properly. You got to have proper food. You have got to have proper medication and care for this. So he's in there, and let me say this too. And Mumi was on death row. And it took us 30-something years to get him off of death row. And when he did come off of death row, the wife of the officer, Faulkner, and stated that, you know, they was going to see to it that Mumia died in prison. We're battling to get him out of prison. Fast forward, you know, back to where we're at, you know, right now. And just before this part happened, we had a very, you know, important Zoom call where we had released all the evidence, and we were able to get Colin Kaepernick and all, you know, to take a stand for Mumia. And he didn't just, you know, take that stand, you know, because we said that he was, you know, he was in there unjustly. He studied everything that there was to study on both sides, and before he made a decision to come out with a statement calling for the release of Mumia. You know, once he did that, there's a news commentator on CNN, Michael Smirkanish. You know, he chastised, you know, Kaepernick for taking that stand, and he, you know, did the usual lies, and then he said, oh, he's going to die in prison. And during this time, and Mumia was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And let me go back again. Just before COVID-19, myself and other people, Johanna Fernandez, Mumia's wife, and people had been up to visit Mumia. And two times before the COVID struck and they stopped people from coming in, as horrible as Mumia's skin had been in all during the time that we fought for his release, Mumia's body was encased in a black substance, and it had cracks all through it. Mumia's neck looked like the neck of a chicken, and all wrinkly and, you know, scaly. Mumia's ear was coming off his face, and you know. Again, through the power of the people, we win the thing for Mumia to get the medication. And Mumia's face over a period of time had gotten to the point that the last two times I seen him, I said, wow, Mumia, your face is beautiful. It looks like baby skin. His arms was clear. And I pulled his pants up. I looked at his legs, and he had the scars, the deep scars, and from skin open, and but other than that, the skin was like smooth and stuff. That was the last time I'd seen him before the pandemic. The next time I seen was this weekend, and I believe it was Sunday, and we got pictures of Mumia in the prison, and they're posted, they're on Facebook, they're also on the mobilization number four, mobilization4mumia.com. They're on the campaign to bring Mumia home. And you can look at these sites. It's two pictures that, you know, if you're standing, you'll sit down and you cannot believe that people are just as wicked. Well, we all, you know, some people will believe that they're not just as wicked, but they are. And but the thing is, right now, and Mumia is in a battle for his life. And being the fact that he had the COVID, you know, for most people who know, when you have COVID, when you're cured of the COVID, it's not over for you. You have a problem, you know, with your breathing for a long time. I talked with State Assemblyman Charles Baring and his wife, Inez Baring, who's a state senator. you know, because they had it, and they went in the hospital. They talked about the horrors of that, you know, of having COVID. And then the after effects, you're not right for a long time, but they didn't have congested heart failure. And Armumia has that. According to records, doctors' records, you know, stated that 50% of the people who get congested heart failure have a five-year lifespan. They usually die within 5 years. And Mumia has not only congested heart failure, he got cirrhosis of the liver. He had the COVID. He got this disease that's encasing his body, that's cracking his skin. And every nook and cranny on Mumia's body is filled with this substance and the cracks and the bleeding and the potholes that's all in his body. Scratching. Mumia told Johanna Fernandez, he called her, and he told her that he's back in the prison hospital now, and that when he was at the hospital on the outside, the doctors and nurses and things was good to him, but the Department of Correction had him chained down. Both feet, had both of his arms chained down. And for people who will get to see the pictures of Mumia, there's a deep, gashing, bloody hole that's right in the front of, Mumia's ankles. We showed one ankle, but both ankles was. We didn't see the what was happening with his wrist because, we didn't know. We don't have those pictures. But he said both his wrists is the same way. It's gouged out from the shackles. He's shackled to the bed. When he get up, he's shackled into a chair. If he go to the bathroom, he's scuffling with these shackles, getting to the bathroom. Mumia has intense itching from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. Everything is itching. Can you imagine being locked down, shackled down, and you itching like that? The inside of your body is burning. And, this is an everyday situation for Mumia. And, I just want to be very graphic so that people can understand what it is that we're saying. What is Mumia crime? Being a freedom fighter for black people. The way they killed Malcolm, there was nothing we could do about it. We didn't know the plot. We didn't know the plan. What they did to every last freedom fighter that there is, male and female, children and all. And there was nothing we can do to stop it, but we can. When I look at Mumia's pictures, I think about Mamie Till Mamie Till, whose son was Emmett Till, who was, was murdered. Yeah. Gruesome.
Yes, ma'am.
That picture of him in that casket. And Mamie said, open that casket. I want them to see what they did to my child. And when people saw it, the reaction was completely different from, people would have been upset if it was a closed casket. But once you open that casket and you see for yourself what they did to her child, I'm saying this is what they doing to our freedom fighter.
He is dead.
But the torture that's going on right now, his body can't take too much. So we're asking people to rise up and rise up now to stop the torture. What we have done, we got people that's going, excuse me, I get carried away. Did you have a question?
Yes, I was just enjoying the information. I will let you pass on, right? My first thing I want to know is how exactly can the people support Mumia, what some of the things they can do, and is there a particular method to do certain things in regard to making phone calls, or is there any kind of way can people get legal support? Well, what can people do in general to support him, to help free him?
We have two teams that's working, legally for Mumia. It's Mumia's, attorneys of choice. And then you also have Mumia's medical attorneys of choice for Mumia. And the lawyers that's doing the medical, I don't know whether people are familiar with the name Bob Bull, but he's a revolutionary lawyer. He was responsible for the release of Daruba Ben-Wahad and, several other, freedom fighters. I do believe that he was involved in the case of Marshall Eddie Conway. I could be wrong, but, he have a lot of clout and a lot of respect in a revolutionary movement for helping and aiding. When Mumia's skin was messed up, he got involved, and it's another young lawyer by the name of Brett Brody, who who was studying law and, you know, wound up working on the case of our brother Russell Maroon Schultz. And both of them was responsible for bringing, you know, getting him out of solitary for 40 years. And they were also responsible for getting him the medical treatment that he needed, you know, at that particular time. These are the brothers who worked and got Mumia the hepatitis C treatment that he needed. They battled in court, and they were magnificent. These are the lawyers that's working right now. We now have from the prison hospital, you know, what are the things that's happening, you know, what happened with Mumia there. That's how we know that they took tests, and they told, you know, put out that, you know, Mumia tested, you know, negative on all that. When he got to the hospital, he tested positive, and all part of, you know, that plot to kill. But he'll be, you know, coming back to court sometime, you know, they'll be filing things sometime in March and all, I believe. We're going to be asking people to be there after, you know, this decision, you know, here come down, some of the things that they can do to get more detailed, thorough information to keep up with what it is that we're doing. They can contact the mobilization number for Mumia, mobilization for Mumia. They have a phone number as well, 215-724-1618. They also have mobilization for Mumia at gmail.com. We also have the campaign to bring Mumia home. The campaign to bring Mumia home is based out of New York. The first one was based out of Philadelphia. So it's campaign to bring Mumia home. Info at bringmumiahome.com. www.bringmumiahome.com. I'm trying to pull up the information or the phone numbers of who to call. I'm trying to get these numbers up. So, and plus you can write Mumia. That's very important. And, you know, send cards and things. Everything has got to be in a white envelope. You know, everything has got to be in a white envelope that, you know, when you send information in. And, and although Mumia's in Pennsylvania, all information has got to go through Florida to come back into Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and for all the prisoners. This is not something unique to Mumia. This is something that they're doing with all the prisoners. So you would have to write Smart Communications, PADOC, Mumia, Abu Jamal, AM8335, SCI Mahanoy, P.O. Box 33028, St. Petersburg, Florida 33733. Those are the different numbers, and I'm trying to find the ones that we have. Okay. And I forgot to mention Prison Radio. And that's a very important site, you know, as well, for, you know, and getting information out, you know, about Mumia. Still pushing down because I have the phone numbers. We have shut the phone numbers down to the governor and to the district attorney's office. They have to keep their phones off the hook, but we're asking people just continue to, you know, make those phone calls down because we have shut that down. And and we added two other phone numbers to this, and one is State Senator Vincent Hughes. And the reason why we're calling on State Senator Vincent Hughes because he stood side by side with State Representative David P. Richardson, and who was very supportive of Mumia and traveled everywhere putting the truth out. This man's quote was, you know, I'm a state representative and I'm a black man, but I'm a black man first, and he talked about how, you know, all the injustice was happening to Mumia. They were supposed to execute Mumia in 1995 on Marcus Garvey's birthday, August the 17th, but the movement, tens of thousands of people came into the city of Philadelphia. People from around the world was demonstrating all over, so they stopped it on August the 12th, but we continued, and that's when Dave Richardson made his speech. They stopped the death warrant, the people back, you know, back that back up. But on August the 17th, they killed State Representative, and I don't mention no words when I say it. They killed State Representative David P. Richardson because he spoke out as loud as he did. And, you know, and I don't say that to scare anybody, but I'm talking about the devil, the beast that we're working with. Vincent Hughes, State Senator.
Sure,
right. State Senator Vincent Hughes' phone number is 215-879-7777. You know, his district office is 717-787-7112. His fax number in Harrisburg is 215-879-7778. District office, 717-772-0579. And the reason, again, why we're saying, you know, call these numbers, and, you know, because they know the truth. They stood on the front line for Mumia, and they need that pressure that the people can build. You cannot sit there and be quiet about what's happening here. So you need to put those phone calls on to get them to out about what's happening, you know, with Mumia, you know, right now. And in Philadelphia, we have a very active, you know, black state senator, council person. Her name is Cindy Bass. She's in city council. Her phone number is 215-686-3424. Her fax number is 215-686-1937. And again, the pressures that we're asking people to put on these people has got to do with the fact that, you know, they can speak out. And everybody is, you know, oh, it's such a shame, or they're not saying, you know, anything about what's going on in this city when you got a worldwide movement that's erupting and all that, seeing those pictures and then reacting. But they're here in Philadelphia, they're acting mute. We want to make them speak and speak loud. In dealing with the prison, Bernadette Mason, SCI Mahanoy, and she's the superintendent of the prison, and because they give the orders, and for him to be shackled. They give the orders, no matter, you know, when Russell Maroon Schultz, you know, was in a hospital, you know, with the cancer and stuff, and they ordered him shackled down. And, you know, when my brother Chucky Africa and Delbert Africa and many other people be shackled down in pain, you know, their pain is so excruciating and you're shackled, you can't move or anything. We're demanding that they remove those inhumane, you know, shackles, you know, from, you know, Mumia and other prisoners. What else we're doing, and like tomorrow morning we'll be back in front of the district attorney's office and protesting about, you know, what's happening to Mumia. Why are we protesting at the district attorney's office? We're protesting at the district attorney's office, Larry Krasner, because he came on as a people's lawyer, a progressive lawyer, and you know, a progressive white lawyer, and he's Philadelphia's first progressive white lawyer. He is responsible for getting juveniles out of prison. There's a lot of juveniles, and some of them have come out, you know, Ghani Songstress and Salim Holbrook, and these are brothers who came out, and they're working with Brother Jihad, you know, in Virginia, and they're bringing up the Jericho movement. They work with the abolitionist, you know, committee, and had he not been in that position, they wouldn't be out. We're very thankful for that. We're thankful for the 15 other inmates that was released on judicial and prosecutorial and police misconduct, and which Mumia possessed each and every last one of those things. And He won't let Mumia out on that. In fact, this with a worldwide movement, with movies and things that's been going around, and knowing that Mumia, some people say, well, you know, I'm in it because I know he didn't have a fair trial. Other people like myself, I'm saying release him because we know factually that he's innocent. And at this point, it's been played out, again, just like what they're doing to Mumia physically in court has played out. This man has filed papers in court and, you know, stopping Mumia from getting an appeal that is very much needed. And he stated that, you know, Mumia is guilty of everything. There is no evidence to point that Mumia didn't have a fair trial. And in fact, and you know, this man is, you know, he came around being like an anti-police person. And he goes and tell in his scenario that he filed in court that, you know, and this was the police story. This is the police story. Everything I'm saying here is like a rubber stamp from when each DA that was involved in this case through the years, I think it was four of them, each of them said the exact same thing. And here he is, the progressive district attorney who went on Amy Goodman's show and contradicted himself. I can't remember the exact words that he said, but he was saying that, I think Mumia's case is a microcosm for, you know, all the cases, you know, where things have been done wrong and stuff. You know, it might not be the exact quote, but, you know, it's in that lines of him saying that Mumia, and all, you know, was, you know, there was problems with his case. And but then when his turn to get in court and, you know, and file papers, you know, he says Mumia's guilty and there's no evidence to point, you know, any different. Well, millions of people around the world know differently, and we're raising these people. In San Francisco, we have young folks, you know, a brother by the name of Santiago Alvarez, you know, who is working with other youth. They got people from 75 different colleges, you know, on their campuses now doing raising work. And what we're saying is, you know, we need that in every college that there is. Let people know. The young Yale Lawyering, the Yale Rebel Lawyering Conference, you know, is something that the District Attorney Krasner was to speak at, which is a very prestigious thing because there are lawyers and student lawyers from around the world. He was invited to be the keynote speaker. I'm talking about people power. Those youth from Morgan State, those youth from Howard, the youth from Stanton, when they seen that this DA was appealing Mumia's case, and they got together. They went to the head of the Yale Lawyering Conference, presented the facts along with Professor Johanna Fernandez, and when they presented that, and they looked at him, checked him out, they disinvited Mr. Krasner, and they had Mumia as the keynote speaker. And in that, you know, people just, you know, is gathering. We, you know, putting those people to the front line again, and the momentum is picking up. First thing we got to demand, because Mumia wants to go back to the hospital, because he needs that hospital care. I mean, they're not letting him out so that we can take care of him. He felt cool, you know, all right in there, but the problem was he was shackled. And we got to get them shackles off so that he can have proper health care while we're doing this battle to get him out, to take care of his health needs. And at the same time, do battle with a district attorney who has just outright lied, rubber stamped. And let me say something about this district attorney. At one point, he was going to do the right thing by Mumia. And when he was getting ready to do that, the Fraternal Order of Police, and and they're the bullies within this whole thing, and they're the upfront bullies, okay? Because you know they ain't nothing but pawns for big business for the system. You know what they did? They went with a frivolous thing called the King's Bench, and where they wanted Larry Krasner kicked off the case. And they wanted to put another person in who is not only detrimental to Mumia's life, but detrimental to people of color and people that's inside them prison. They wanted him to have the case. So they go to, this is, a judge already made a decision that it should go to appeal. They go to him, you know, they go and they go to the first court, which is the municipal court level, and they, you know, that they say, this is frivolous. Throw this out. You know, just don't, you know, it doesn't hold merit. So they went shopping for another one. They wound up with the Supreme Court justice, and for 6 months, they hooked it up so that only Maureen Faulkner, the FOP, and the Supreme Court justices that, you know, that was not favorable to Mumia and could handle this thing. But the stuff that they filed was so crazy, you know, that they threw it out after 6 months. But they knew that. But in that 6 months is what you see that happened to Mumia. They kept saying, we're going to kill him. When they said, he'll die in prison. I'm saying, you know, the words is, we're going to kill that nigga in prison. You know, Judge Sable said, I'm going to help him fry the nigga. And, you know, and for people got a problem with that word nigga, this is a quote. This is what he said. I'm going to help him fry the nigga. And with all that hate that he can spew. But, you know, we've been battling and battling. At this particular point, you know, we're raising a worldwide movement. If you belong to a union, get your union involved. On the West Coast, you know, the entire West Coast was shot down, in the 90s for 2 days. One day that they had a meeting dealing with Mumia. The second day, nothing moved on the entire West Coast. Here it is, 2021, and, you know, we... you know, we got to raise the ante again. Schools shut down in Brazil, and our schools shut down all across the United States. And they had days where they taught the case of Mumia, and despite this government trying to stop them, and they shut down, walks. I'm saying this is where we're at. Civil disobedience need to happen. Don't need to just happen in Philadelphia. We are calling for, like I said, we'll be in the street tomorrow again. And we've been in the street every week for the last, 4 weeks. Once a week, but we'll be back in there tomorrow. But April 24th, which is Mumia's birthday, there's a planned tribunal on Zoom. But there's a lot of us who don't, we want to, that's good, but we want to be in the street on April the 24th. So a lot of people, we're circling City Hall, and there's plans on what it is that we're going to be doing on that day. There are several things that are happening, and people can plug in where they can plug in. A lot of people say, well, what can I do? I tell them about the numbers, and I tell them about what we're doing. An example, young Santi Alvarez, when he lives in California. He goes to the same college that Mumia has a correspondence with, which is Santa Cruz. The college is Santa Cruz, right? And, when they heard press conference, they and me, they said, well, what are we going to do? They said, let's go to the DA's office. And they demonstrated, in San Francisco. And where they demonstrated at the district attorney is Chelsea Bodine. Chelsea Bodine is the son of his parents are both in jail now for political actions that they took in the 70s, I believe. But he's the DA, and he's a progressive DA responsible for getting a lot of people out of jail and being as fair in different things as he can and working in the belly of the beast. They go to him, if you go to our site, you see them standing in front of that DA's with the DA, and they're on the microphone, and Chelsea is, texting, and he was texting Krasner here in Philadelphia, and he want to know, what's up with this? I got all these students out here, and they're telling me, what it is, and they're saying the same thing that I was saying. Only difference is that, the pictures hadn't been released there. So when people say what they can do, do what you can do. There's no way in the world that any, heads of churches get to them, give them this information and let them know that, they are in the process of committing cold-blooded murder. In fact, it's torture. Julia Wright in France, she has gone to the human rights, the UN and human rights and put this case before them again. And now there's more evidence added of torture. The very torture of what's going, what's happening to him, right now. So things that people can do, there's nothing that you can't do. and or you know, if you got, you know, people in college, get this information to them and tell them, you know, to join the movement, the college movement, and or to you know, calls from Malcolm X grassroots, you know, organizations and all, you know, who are getting involved nationally and all to put this information out. Information is the key. The information is the motivation that will make you stand up and say, end this and end it now. Release Mumia. Release him now. Based on not the fact that, you know, he's, you know, we're saying that, you know, he's good, but information that you can touch, information that you can see. Torture that you can actually see, and how this plot and plan happened to the point that they got him here, that they think that they can just kill Mumia, torture Mumia, and we're going to be quiet. I'm saying it's up to each and every last one of us. Mumia's life is not in the hands of this government. Mumia's life is in the hands of the people, and are united to take a stand and say this ends now. And the only way that it can be done is by doing everything that you can do. I can't tell people what you can do. Some people, you know, might can, you know, put a fundraiser and raise some money. Some people can watch children while, you know, while their parents is in the street. And, you know, some people, you know, like I said, got kids. Tell, you know, tell them what to do. You got, you know, Black Lives Matters in your neighborhoods, or, you know, whatever. You know, people dealing with injustice. But it got to stop. And I want to say this. What's happening to Mumia is no different than what is happening to every man, woman, and child that goes into these hell holes. But Mumia's case is the one that got millions around the world. He got voices that won't
true,
stop.
Indeed.
That's right. On the move, and long live John Africa. And, you know, because he keep us on it. And, you know, and you know, our job is to build and to get that information out. And through the years, and there's a trust that has been built, you know, and people working with us that is beyond anything else, because they know if we put it out there, it's factually true. You can go to war on it. So, you know, all I'm saying is, you know, people that's in churches, and you know, go to church. You know, Jesus Christ, and you know, he was the first, the famous black political prisoner that sat on death row back then. And he wasn't, you know, killed by an angry mob. He was killed by the government. But the apathy of the people, you know, as they seen him, he's walking up that hill. We outnumber them. And, you know, people got to move. And, you know, that's what, you know, my job is to do. Tonight I'm doing Sister Ava Muhammad's show. I'm doing as many, and I'm doing shows. Johanna Fernandez doing shows. And youth is in the streets in different areas educating people. Mumia also has a newspaper called the Jamal Journal. Is published by the Uncompromising International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu. I am the, the co-editor of this, and I'm the chairwoman of the Uncompromising International Concerned Family and Friends. All the groups that you hear of, and all, we all work together, and all, but they're under an umbrella of the International Concerned Family and Friends, and all. And, you know, we deal with some people and all who want to say, you know, well, I'm, you know, I don't believe he had a fair trial. And, you know, that's where I'm at. And on some people, you know, say, well, look, and my thing is that, you know, I don't think no black man should be on death row. And, you know, and that's where I'm at. And I'm saying, if those your beliefs, come on, because the only thing that you're going to learn when you come in here is how to fight hard and fight strong. And you're going to find out that not only did Mumia not have a fair trial, he never had a trial. None of that stuff that happened there was a trial. And the word right now has got to be release Mumia. Release Mumia now. Not, you know, based on fact, based on judicial process. You know, we have it all. And a huge movement that is building, be a part of that. Be a part of this history that, you know, really means stop. And it's dealing with all the other political prisoners.
True indeed.
So, questions, you know.
Yes, ma'am. I have one question, right? And then I want everybody to press one who want to chime in, who have a question for the guest. My question is, in regard to Dr. Ricardo Alvarez's statement, freedom is the only treatment. What does that
That's
actually
right.
mean?
You know, freedom is treatment. You know, you got to, you know, number one, he cannot be treated, you know, in that hospital. And Mumi can only be treated, or any other person that's in the, you know, within the helms of these prisons, you know, can only be treated by the outside. And, you know, freedom is the only treatment. It's real plain and it's real simple. Free Mumia, that's the treatment for Mumia. And bring him home, all the different things that is needed to take care of him, like when Lynn Stewart, you know, who was a political prisoner that was released from prison, you know, they thought that, you know, in their medical minds and things, they released her because they figured that she only had a few months. But once she was out here and, you know, was, you know, given the love and the appreciation for the work that she do, you know, and, you know, people got her the necessary everything that she needed. And, you know, she lived almost 2 years. And I'm saying she lived a full life in 2 years because she didn't come out being afraid that, you know, if I come out there and say this about that, and or, you know, that, you know, they're going to take me back in. She's in there because she stood firm. And, you know, she stood firm against, you know, everything that they brought at her. And, because when you bow and you bend, they don't have no respect for you. They would do anything to you, just like these DAs and, you know, these false people. And, you know, they're bending for a little bit of something, which really means nothing, you know, because they suffer more than the people that suffer on the, you know, that's inside these prisons. Because I don't care, you know, these material things that, you know, they're, you know, allowing people, or, you know, the promise of, you know, the DA is nothing but person who wants to be a mayor, and a person who wants to be a mayor, who wants to be the governor, who wants to be the president. But you got to kiss things that you know, all the way up to be these things. You got to bend and bow. You got to smile when you don't want to smile. And or you got to, you know, you got so much pretense in you. You know, you're not. They take the humanity out of you. When, you know, when you know something is right, you can't say it. You know, they'll come and say, oh, you can't, you know, well, you know that we can't say that. And, you know, because, you know, we're not supposed to. Well, I work for the government, and I can't say that. But you got people break the rules every day. Chakwe Lumumba and Charles Barron, and I'm talking sure you can name a whole lot of, you know, ones who would break those rules. And when I'm saying break
sure
the
indeed.
Rules, break of, you know, what this corporate America wants you to be, why you stand in those positions and are standing firm. I'm saying if everybody did that, and we wouldn't have no problems. You wouldn't have the problems that we have now.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast, so you're not understanding. I want to thank you for all the commitments you've done in the past, the present, and the future, right? I want to salute you, know, for being a soldier on the front lines, right? You're on the front lines, you know. Everything you said was for the release of our comrade, Mumia Abu-Jamal, whether other political prisoners, but also suffering some of the same things that range from Mumia, range from Dr. Matulu Shakir to Mami Kabir to Iman Jamil Lamine. The rest of the show to other individuals, you know.
That's
And at this time, if anybody have any question or comments, please press one, so I can open your line up. I salute you, sister. On the move.
Thank you.
I got a caller. Yes, ma'am.
One more thing before the caller. And you can Google the information. And there's several movies on Mumia. We had several Zoom conferences where all the information, you know, is out there about him and all the political prisoners and things. And Google them, you know, bring people to your house and teach it to them, okay?
True indeed. Salute, Mama. On the move. Okay, I'm opening
on
the line for a couple of callers right now. Okay. The first call is 614-285. You have a question coming for the guest, please do so at the time. Your line is open. 614-285. Your line is open.
On the move, Sister Pam. This is your sister, Candy. How you doing,
Candy? All right, all the way up in Ohio.
Yes, hey. Ma'am. It is so good
to hear your voice.
Thank you, sweetheart. I just wanted to ask, well, I pushed one so that I could, you know, be supportive. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask, how are you and how is Ramona?
And we're doing good. And, you know, when people ask me about Ramona, for those who don't know, Mona's suffered a stroke in which she couldn't move and stuff. But there, if you go to Vice, Google, I'm a Google person. If you Google Vice and put in Ramona Africa, there was an interview that was done by her, and you would see Mona and see how, you know, and that was done a few months ago. Of course, she's advanced more. But for those who hadn't seen her on the front line since, and, you know, handling and dealing with information on her own, you'll see how far she have advanced from a person who couldn't sit up in bed. The only thing that she could do was smile, and to the point that, you know, she was a person that wound up sitting up by herself and then getting in and walking walking. And she's still, you know, walking with a walker. She had to have another operation. And but, you know, she's moving, and she's moving, you know, really, really good. So for people who want to see Ramona, and, you know, treat yourself to Vice, and Vice and put in Ramona Africa is a TV series. Yeah. And me, I'm doing good.
And what about you?
And got more grandbabies and more, yeah, you know, you know, my life is just good. And my husband, you know, you met Razakhan when you was here the last time.
Yeah,
all of us
yeah.
still want to move, the whole family. All the Move 9 is out now, all of them.
I remember.
Right. And in this battle, you know, for liberation, we lost they killed in prison rural Africa. You know, they killed in prison. Africa, and Delbert Africa came out, and he lived, I'm trying to say 6 months, he lived, you know, but he contacted cancer while in prison, and Chuck Africa, young Chuck Africa, he's suffering with cancer, you know, terminal cancer now from what they fed him, what they did to him in the prison,
yeah.
as many other, you know, inmates inside that prison. And that's another fight that, you know, we have, dealing with the food, the water, and the treatment and things of what's happening with other political other prisoners in that prison.
Bless you. I just want to give you props,
of the Million Woman March. She's very much involved, you know, on that front line. You know, so, you know, everything is really, really good. I'm going to call you after this. Text me your number.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay, now, love you much, sis, and our frontline soldier.
That's what we are.
That's right.
That's right.
From the cradle
but
to
the
grave.
But the song say, you got me living on the front line.
Line.
Oh, mama.
Yes, oh, mama, you got me living on the front line. That used to be our song while we was out in the street.
Y'all, ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
It's the truth. I love you, sis.
I love you, too. This was such a wonderful call. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
no,
Brother
no
Bomani.
No doubt. You're welcome, Mama Connie. We have a couple more calls. We have a couple more calls, Mama Pam, up and open your lines
okay.
up. 973-818, your line is open. You have questions, comments, or statements to make, your line is open. 973-818, your line is open. Please do so at your time.
Yes. Sister Lanier, revolutionary greetings coming out of Newark, New Jersey. First,
hey.
I want to thank you for how you doing, sister?
I'm doing
sister
good.
Sister Warrior.
Really
sister Warrior. thank the broadcaster for allowing you the opportunity to get the word out. I just recently got the battle call from my president general, Empress Chi.
Okay.
You know, we stand definitely in solidarity with the
true
fight
indeed.
To bring Mumia home, to bring him home, and to call these racist, evil, so many names that we can call a system that want to continue to, you know, cruel and unusual punishment, you know, against our political prisoners of war. So I just want to give you much appreciation, thanks for all the hard work that you've been doing for all the years of getting the word out. You are the minister of confrontation, information, and all there is on the front line for our people. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want us to come together because this is the call. She made the call to all of us. And it's time that we come together right here, right now, all these groups, you know, all these individuals who saying that they are fighting for justice for Mumia to bring them home. The battle call has been called. It's time for us to assemble. We need to, if we got to tear down the walls of Jericho, coming together, standing in solidarity to go wherever we have to go, you know, from this point on to bring Mumia home now, because what they're doing to him is just horrible. We already know what they're trying to do to him, but we need to come together to demand them free Mumia right now, right now. This is a point of the tipping point of what's going on and what's happening to him now. Bring him home now, and we need to tear down the walls like we was in these streets, like the Black Lives Movement and all these movements that was all across the world, you know, about this racist president we had. We need to assemble the same way for our political prisoner, Mumia, and all the prisoners of war that's in solitary confinement and in these prisons. So we
true
need to
indeed.
Do that now. You made the call, so now is our time to take action right now.
Okay.
So much love to you. I salute you. Coming from Newark, New Jersey, whoever, whatever we got to do to get these people to wake up, you know, and take this thing serious, because I haven't heard anybody saying anything here in Newark, New Jersey about doing what we got to do to bring Mumia home now. But
yes,
you made the call.
Waking people up. You got the message. You shared, you
that's
know,
right,
and their brother has been
yes,
working very close
call.
With us, and, you know, they're doing some things, you know, over there now. He's meeting with the POP organization and, you know, showing films, showing documents, and making sure the people have the proper information and to stand toe-in-toe with these people, and if necessary, knock them the hell out.
And we
okay.
must do that.
True indeed.
So thank you. Thank you for all the work you're doing.
Okay.
And much love to Mumia. Peace
all right, thank you. I'm so
salute.
Glad that she brought up Sister Fillet, Empress Shay. You know,
yes,
because
yes, ma'am.
On, you know, human rights, taking it to the UN, and this case here is going to be, you know, one of the top cases. Brother Jihad, and all who's in Virginia with the Jericho Movement and the Jericho Movement. There are so many groups and organizations, and you know. Being on this show, it spreads, you know, because there's a lot of people who don't know. And, you know, they will
yes,
hear
ma'am.
And people react. People do react.
Yes, ma'am.
And,
no doubt. So,
Brother
Sister Leia strong, too. She's been pushing line for a moment. You know, I got a few more call up to open line right quick. 267-636, your line is open. You have a question, come for the gay, please do so at your time. 267-636, your line is open.
Yes, yes, yes. Freedom all. This is Empress Chi, Dr. Fillet in the house. Hey, sis.
Free the line.
Can you hear me?
Ursula and greeting, mama.
All right. Listen, of course, Pam always brings it hot, raw, and real. Just want to remind everyone that this is Women's History Month, so they say. And we want to also remember that there is at least one political prisoner that you do not hear much about, and that is, of course, Reverend Joy Powell. So we'll be talking more about her on our program for Saturday night. But we want to also remind folks that Sister Janine and Sister Janet will be joining the Umoja Unity Talks, and that'll take place on March 27th. That's, of course, Sister Teresa Alameen and her group, of course, put that together. Sister Pam was on that for last month's Umoja Talks. And for this month, again, the topic is going to be focused on political prisoners along with, of course, our warrior women. And so, again, that's going to happen on March the 27th. This is a Zoom. And if you'd like more information, because you do need to register, registration, of course, is free. And also we want to remind everyone, as Sister Pam mentioned, and Sister Manera, people can do a litany of things sitting right where they're at. With the Zoom now, people can do Zoom meetings or forums right online, review some of the films on Mumia, definitely write to him. You know, write to your so-called black selected / elected official, because that's what we're doing on this end. For the We Charge Genocide 21, we're assembling an entire cadre of so-called elected officials and making certain that they take a position, because people are talking about reparatory justice, but reparatory justice begins with the freeing of our political prisoners. That's the first reparatory justice that we can get to. So with that said, leading up to Mumia's Earth Day, which of course is April 24th, there's going to be a major rally and honk here in Philly at the Cato statue, which is at City Hall. It's right across from DA Craftsman's office. We're going to assemble at 12 o'clock to begin to prepare to take the first 1 million signatures to the United Nations to charge this government with crimes against humanity. So the day before that is literally the Earth Day recognition of the great Paul Robeson. And, of course, he took the petition to the United Nations 70 years ago in December 1951. So we are following suit in a way, but we're looking at 21 points of genocide. And right now with Mumia, Baba Russell Maroon Schultz, Dr. Matulu Shakur, Emmanuel Alameen, and others, we're saying this is cruel and unusual punishment given the fact of their age and their health crisis. And right now we're saying we charge genocide. So if folks want more information, they can contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or they can text us at 267-636-3802, but more than happy to give them more information. And you know, whatever, anything else that they need in terms of what's presently going on with Mumia and all of our political prisoners, free them all.
Free them all. Thank you, Mama Filet. Okay, open the line for another caller. Nine zero one 292. Your line is open. You have questions, comments, statements you make. Your line is open. 901-292. Your line is open.
Free the land, Mama Pam. This is Mama Io from Memphis, Tennessee. It's a pleasure hearing you again. Mama Pam, I'm calling on behalf of the Republic of New Africa, and we are going to be making sure that we tell all of our conscious citizens in the district everything that you have shared about Mumia, because you know part of our Declaration of Independence is addressing political prisoners, and you yourself, you know the history of what has happened to the Republic of New Africa, and we are really, really going to be making sure that we keep Mumia in the Ministry of Information once the People Center Council meets. So I greet you and with all revolutionary greetings. And I hope that you will make sure we contact you, keep in touch with you. We will be celebrating New African Nation Day, and we will definitely put out the word to conscious citizens. Our New African Nation Day will be held the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And on the day where the Declaration of Independence was signed, on March 31st, we will ask as many of our conscious citizens to make sure that they remember the political prisoners and the POWs behind the wall, because we have thousands upon thousands. and Mumia's case is critical. So we are very, very grateful that you are keeping us abreast of what is going on. So I greet you, Sister Queen.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I had the mute button on before. I was giving you the greetings earlier, and I was just checking, you know, because I never know when it's on or off, and I keep pushing. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you throughout the years. Still appreciate you and the work that you're doing.
So thank you, Mama Pam. And we definitely, as I said, you know, Bomani is now our Minister of Information. So one of the things that we are addressing within the Republic of New Africa is that we must be more active, because you know the work of Chokwe and Obadeli and Mama Dara and everybody else.
Bring
Mama
them all Kandi out.
And Baba Rashi. Yes. So we wanted to, in this new administration, we want to make sure that political prisoners are addressed, because that is part of our reparations that we've asked in our Declaration of Independence, which was drafted in 1968. So we've been struggling, and all of the messages and the things that need to be done, we will be addressing. And so we hope to keep real abreast with you and keep current with all the organizations and movements that will help the nation move forward and free the land. We love you, Mama Pam.
Thank you. Need all that good energy.
Always. This,
yes. Yeah. I got to mention the Black Radical Collective in Philadelphia. You know, that does, you know, a hell of a job there. And sister, you know, that work with Brother Ajamu Baraka. Justice, peace. I'm getting all mixed up. You know what I'm I hope you do.
I understand what you're saying, sis.
Right, yeah. So, you know, a lot of people have reached out. I had a meeting, called for a meeting the other night with all the different, you know, Panthers, Sister Jasmine, Sister Paula, and Brother BJ and them. They pulled together, you know, they're organizing, you know, as well. And one of the things I really need that I didn't miss, and we need letters and of support and letters calling on the district attorney to do the right thing. We need you to send us a copy of the letter that you send them. And we're asking that the letters that you send and give us a copy of that and have it so that he would have to sign for, because they have people to sign for, you know, for the mail, to make sure that they get the mail. And, you know, when you send it and the return confirmation, we like to have it, you know, as proof that they know, you know, that we know that they got this information.
Okay.
Yeah.
No doubt. I think we got a couple more callers then. After these callers, I'm asking for your final thought. You got a couple more callers, and after that, you can give your final thought.
Thank you.
Okay. 901-570, line is open. You have a question coming for the guest, please do so at this time. 901-570, line is open.
Free the land, Mama Pam. This is Sister Sama Ott from Memphis, Tennessee, Ida B. Wells, calling, representing the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. You have our total support. I am taking notes as I'm listening to you. I'll probably have to call you again just to, you know, make sure that we are thorough in terms of the action items that you need us to do.
So, all right.
And we want to do what you ask.
All right. Thank you, sis. And for people who don't, my phone number is 267-760-7344. And I do answer my phones, and more than likely right after this here, my phones is going to be lit up. But, you know, and there's no room to leave a message, because that's filled up too. You know, when you call, and it's, you know, the number, you know, is right there, or you can text me, you know, what it is, and I do get back. I do get back.
Okay, yes, ma'am, will do.
Yeah. Thank you, sis. on the move. You know, I like to do one of the quotes from, you know, our founder, John Africa. And, you know, he says, the system has failed you yesterday, failed you today, and have created the conditions for failure tomorrow. For society is wrong. The system is reeling. The courts of this complex are filled with imbalance. Cops are insane. The judges enslaving. The lawyers are just as the judges they confront. They are Harvard and Princeton and Cornell and Yale, and trained as the judge to deceive the impoverished, trained as the judge to protect the established, trained by the system to be as the system, to do for the system, exploit with the system, and it is foolish to continue to close your eyes to this, end quote, John Africa.
Okay, salute to that. Okay, I got one more caller. 803-347, your line is open. You got a question, comment, statement to make, please do so this time. 803-347, your line is open. At this time, what are your final thoughts at this time? Any final statement, any information you want to share, any final thoughts in regards to the end of the show? What are your final thoughts, Mama Africa?
Right. This show was very rewarding, you know, as usual. And as we can hear, the people heard the message, and our people are organizing and reach out to us. You know, I want to ask you one question before. Because on the Jamal Journal, a lot of the shows that we've been on, we have a button that you push that you can rehear the shows. And also, I'm just trying to figure out, is there a way of getting a copy of this show so that we can add it to the Jamal Journal so that when people...
Yes, ma'am.
You know, all right. So, you know, so that people can, you know, go there and hear the rebroadcast of different shows, things that they miss, numbers that they miss, and all will all be there. And I like to say, you know, people can really stay in contact with us through the campaign to bring Momia home. And I'm looking for numbers as I talk. Campaign to bring Momia home, that's info@bringmomiahome.com. I'm just going to give you a few. The mobilization for Momia, and that phone number is 215-724-1618. And, you can look at those sites, and there's a New York site, is another one, Free Momia Abu Jamal Coalition, New York City, and that's 212-330. Okay, I'm looking down here, 8029. And in France, Sister Julia, you're right. If you know anybody in France and want to get them involved in what's going on, the prison radio, that's where all Momia commentaries come out of. And that's another really good site, the prison radio, 415-648-4505. And also, the information, info, at prisonradio.com.
Okay.
Yeah, those are,
okay,
you know, numbers that, you know, will have all the information, the most updated information, you know, there that people can, get to. And, you know,
okay,
the hip-hop community, you know, hats off to them, because a lot of them had stepped to, you know, the front line and, and deal not only with Momia and with other political prisoners.
True indeed. Again, Sister, I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast. I want to thank you for the work you've been doing. You've been a frontline soldier rep for a long time, so I want to say on the move, in the words of John
Africa. On the move, and black power forever.
Yes, ma'am. If anybody has any associate, loved one, comrades behind enemy lines, please get into our website at www.georgiauniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgiauniversity.com. Long.com. Long Lady African Independence Movement, the Long Lady Resistance. Free the land. Free all blood.
Free the land. Thank you. On the move.
Mighty Minister.